You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
That was where we went from, like, kind of drunk to, like, it's, like, almost game over drunk. Because we were playing this game where we would call out a Packer that we... It was like we were nominating them or something. It was like, I want to talk about this guy. He did this in this game.
So I'm going to do one right
All
now.
Right, go ahead.
Double tap. Vintage B.J. Raji.
Oh, boy.
We have seen big plays from Aaron Rodgers.
I'm at your service.
All season long.
Last tempo. We got to bring some energy and some life.
Omega Donut Podcast.
We got to get this thing amped up.
With them great guys, Chris and Adam. Even Aaron likes them.
Are you kidding me? I love them.
Big and don't listeners and followers. I'm Adam Summers, joined by my bestest friend in the world, Chris Lempesis. It's been a while since we've done a week three podcast where the Packers are 2-0.
We did it, Adam Summers. We fucking did it. We beat
no better way to put it.
We beat the Seattle Seahawks. I planned
it
that.
It felt
by the way.
So
that was
sweet.
That's the earliest I've ever dropped an F bomb on the show, and I planned that.
And I'm leaving it in.
I planned it. I was like, I'm gonna use it right off the bat.
We're like a PG-13 movie. You can have one F-bomb.
You can have one. And, you know, I've seen a couple where they had two, and I think I even saw one where they had three.
That's pushing it.
Yeah, I don't – if you remember the movie The American President with Michael Douglas?
Vaguely.
That was rated PG-13, and I believe that had three F-bombs in it, because I went and saw that with my parents when I was in middle school. And, you know, when you're in middle school, you, like, take note of those things. If I'm not
sure.
If I'm not mistaken, I was like, I think they've said the F word three times in this movie.
I love how we start the Packers podcast this week, the Old Big and Honest podcast, after one of the biggest regular season wins in recent memory. And we're a minute and a half in, and we're talking about how you as a teenager remember how many F-bombs were in the movie American
The American President.
President.
You know what, though? Michael Douglas was, like, but Michael Douglas was a president-elect from the state of Wisconsin. So there you go.
I guess it ties it all together, but still.
It's pretty weak, but...
The vast, obscure knowledge of Christopher Lempesis, people.
I know so much shit that's completely useless. It's insane.
But what's not useless is the way the Packers performed on Sunday.
How fun was that, huh? I mean, you were at the game, which we'll get to in a little bit, but, like...
Yeah.
God, that was fun. It was just so, like, cathartic, really, to beat those guys.
And the way they did it, too. It was a solid win. It got close, but it was never that the game was out of hand. You never thought that things were falling apart. And it wasn't like the Packers won on some random play or something just turned the tides. It's from start to finish, they just beat the Seahawks. There was nothing fluky about the win.
No.
There was nothing that anyone could say. They just thoroughly beat the Seahawks start to finish.
Right. There was no simultaneous possession.
Yeah.
No Brandon Bostic nonsense. It was just... Or Brandon Bostic type nonsense. Yeah, it was just, I mean, really, you know, and I guess the first thing that comes to my mind about the performance was the defense. I know everybody wants to talk about Rodgers and how brilliant he was, and he was, but especially in that fourth quarter. But you look at the defense outside of Seattle's first two drives to start the second half, which you knew they were going to come out with fire.
Exactly.
Outside of those two drives, the Packers gave up 3 points. And I know you can kind of, you can kind of play that game a lot, like, well, if you take away this, this, and this, they only did this. But really, I think that holds up here. Like, they only gave up a field goal outside of those two drives to start the third quarter.
Yeah, and you knew – I couldn't be on Twitter too much at all or texting because I was at the game, and whatever reason, I couldn't get the Verizon Wi-Fi to work. That's a personal issue I have with Lambeau Field right now. as a Verizon customer.
You did, you were able to punch through to get a tweet up about you saw a guy in a Gronkowski jersey?
Yes, because I actually...
Getting handcuffed and taken out of Lambeau?
I posted that tweet from the concourse. I'll just sidestep to tell this story. This is right before halftime. And I'm so mad at myself that I didn't have time to get my phone out and take a picture. I was just such in awe. Because several people were handcuffed, Packers and Seahawks fans alike. It was kind of home opener Sunday night. It was nice out. The elements were ripe for lots of arrests. And, you know, just Packers and Seahawks fans, which you come to expect. There's a guy wearing a Lacy jersey who was handcuffed and walked out. Behind him was this skinny white kid who looked total Boston-esque. Like, you know, kind of baggy pants, kind of trying to be cool with his Patriots hat, you know, backwards, cocked a little bit. Maybe just because he was probably throwing the ground. But he was wearing a Pats hat and a Gronk jersey. And he just looks totally faded. And this is like right above my section, maybe a section down. I went out like right before halftime to use the facilities and get something to drink. And I'm just like, I just stood there and did not move and just looked at my jaw dropped. I'm like, is that a guy wearing a Gronk jersey that just looks totally wasted and at a Packers Seahawks game? What the hell is going on? It was just too perfect.
I was a little bit worried because you never responded to my tweet when I tweeted back at you. I said, well, was it actually Gronk? And then you never responded. And I was like, maybe it was actually Rob Gronkowski.
Dude, I couldn't get any. They have this. They're advertising this new Wi-Fi service there.
Yeah.
And it's complimentary, especially if you can sign in. If you're not a Verizon customer, or there's supposed to be an easy sign-in, or those have some better reception if you're Verizon. I don't know how it works. They had it on the score. I'm trying to get to work. So I'm a Verizon customer, and did not work. It kept on saying, you're unable to connect to Verizon network. Go see a Verizon specialist in the concourse. I'm not going to the damn concourse to talk to some woman in a yellow shirt about my Wi-Fi. And then I couldn't get the LT or 3G to work either. And I couldn't even send text messages. It was, you know, like any kind of typical sports game. Like, but you're supposed to have great cell service.
They've been really pumping that up, hyping that up a lot over the off season.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
That they were going to have improved Wi-Fi service and you could check your fantasy stats and go on Twitter and Facebook during the game. And
couldn't even send a text message. It took like a half hour to send one text message.
Shit. So it's the same as it's always been. That's good.
Yeah. Unless you go into the concourse, then it works.
Then you might see a guy in a Gronkowski jersey getting dragged out.
That's the only time I posted anything or sent text. When I was in the concourse. Even then, the Wi-Fi didn't work, but the LT or 3G worked. But you're sitting in your seats. Yeah. Good luck.
So where are we now? What day is this? Oh, we're talking about the defense. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got a sidetrack.
So many players, I think, deserve accolades from Sunday on that defense.
Yes.
Let's start up like. Before we start naming out players, I just want to say something to the Packers fans who were there on Sunday. Loudest game I've been at. And I go to a couple games every year since I was a little kid.
You're the real MVP, Lambeau.
One of the loudest games I've been at since I can remember.
Sometimes it's hard to tell on TV. You could really tell. There were a couple of shots where you notice this a lot in college games. You don't tend to notice it as much in the pros. But there were a couple of shots in the, especially in the first half, where like they show Wilson getting ready to take the snap, you know, and the camera was like, the screen was like shaking.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, Lambeau's gotten so loud that the cameras are rattling. I was like, that's a good sign. I was like, you can really tell. It's like, that crowd is hyped up.
It was a perfect storm, season opener. Yep. It's a nice day out, Sunday night. People were out all day.
It's like we said last week on the pod, people had all day to sit in the early September weather and drink their faces off and get ready to go in and
it was against a big time opponent.
Right, scream about how much they hate the Seahawks.
Yeah. And it was louder than the playoff game last year. It's louder than any other game I've been to in the last handful of years. I can't remember the last time it's been that loud. I really can't.
That's awesome.
It might be the loudest game I've ever been to. And it was phenomenal. And this kind of leads to the defense because you mentioned seeing the camera shake on TV. You could definitely tell that Seattle had problems with their play calling and getting the ball off and reading coverages. The crowd noise, this is where I'm segueing to, how loud that stadium was, you could just tell the defense is feeding off it. I don't know if you could see on TV, but you know, maybe it was in between TV commercial breaks. But every time there was a stop in action, there was guys on that defense pumping up the crowd. I remember sometimes on special teams when they go down and if it was a touchback or whatever, there's three or four guys on the kick coverage team would run alongside the end zone, pumping their hands up and down to get the crowd going up until they got back to the sideline.
That's awesome. No, they didn't show too much of that on TV, but that's awesome.
It was totally like a college game, college atmosphere.
That's funny. That's awesome. That's funny you say that, because that's, like I said, that's what I was thinking watching on TV. I'm like, you don't normally see this unless it's like, you know, Georgia, Alabama or something, and it's like the crowd is so into it, it's like, oh, the shot is shaking. But it was doing that Sunday night, man. It was and it was really awesome to see.
Whenever the team was on defense, there's a stoppage in action, the players would try their best from the sidelines or on the field to make sure that crowd did not go silent. And then being the great Packer fans are, that the offense on there, it's so nice to know like what professional fans are. Like when I say professional, not just the difference between college fans and pro fans, but how great Packers fans are, knowing how the game operates. The offense on the field, just silent.
Silence.
And of course, there's always like, you know, some right next to me, there was a woman who you could tell that, you know, she liked football, but it wasn't. She would always say, come on, Aaron, come on, Aaron. Like when he was, you know, Samuel, but obviously he wouldn't be able to hear that woman. But it was just a complete 180, how extremely loud fans were and then how silent they were. It was a sight to see.
You know, Lambeau, I think we've said this before on the show too, that like, there's no reason for Lambeau to not be that way every week. I mean, 78,000 fans with the new additions, the way those additions have sort of sealed off the end zones to trap sound in.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason Lambeau can't be like CenturyLink Field or like Arrowhead Stadium every week, because it could be. It's just that's maybe not Packers fan style as opposed to where it like is with Seattle and like KC fans. But like you saw last week that might not be our style, but it can be when we want it to be as fans. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it should be that way every week, regardless of who they're playing.
I was also impressed of how early fans got in the stadium. We got there pretty early because we didn't really tailgate. We were walking around. We sat by our car and just kind of, it was nice. So we propped up some chairs, had a couple beers, but we didn't have a grill going or anything. Walked to the stadium, went to the pro shop, which was insanely busy, of course. Oh, so it was a bad move on our part. But then we got to our seats about 10, 15 minutes before the game started, before kickoff. And usually Lambeau, with tailgating anything, it's about a couple, maybe sometimes a couple minutes into the game where it's full. It was pretty much full by the time we got to our seats. And we got to our seats probably about 10, 12 minutes before kickoff. But just the atrium was just packed when we got in there about half hour before.
People were waiting. You know what I mean? Everybody was just waiting for this game. And I expected Lambeau to be loud, but I guess I wasn't 100% sure. But your reports just sort of crystallize it that really it was everybody. It wasn't just some Packer fans or most Packer. It was everybody there had been waiting for this moment for a long time.
I'm glad I had Monday off from work because I did not have a voice Monday morning.
Oh, I can't imagine.
But I don't know what better way to segue this until kind of just loop it back around how loud the crowd was impacted the defense.
All right, well, let's actually talk. This is our third crack at this now.
Defensive players.
Now we're going to actually name some people on the defense.
I want to name this first guy.
Go ahead.
And you know, at your wedding weekend, we kind of just did the cheers, double tap, and then to random Packer boys and players.
My bachelor party weekend, right?
Yeah, bachelor party. And we did it your wedding weekend, too, a little bit.
We did it my bachelor party weekend, you and our friend Nathan and I.
God, we were so...
And we were really in the bag. We were sitting outside that one bar in downtown Minneapolis, and that was where we went from, like, kind of drunk to, like, it's, like, almost game over drunk. Because we were playing this game where we would call out a Packer that we... It was like we were nominating them or something. It was like, I want to talk about this guy. He did this in this game.
So I'm going to do one right now.
All right, go ahead.
Double tap. Vintage BJ Raji.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, too. That's what a performance from BJ Raji.
His best performance in 2 years, easily?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He's actually, I'm actually writing about him for WTMJ this week. And I was going back and looking at his performances and stuff and things I'd written about him in the past for our website. Outside of a brief stretch, let me rephrase that. It's his best game since somewhere towards the end of the 2012 season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 2012 and 2013 were pretty rough for Raji, but he had that one stretch near the end of 2012 where he was really good. This was the best he's been since then.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
That was everything, and I think Packer fans might have needed a reminder how good he can be and how disruptive he can be. That was Raji on Sunday night.
He's finally healthy. I mean, as simple as that, he's finally healthy and he's motivated.
He's motivated. He's lost 10, you know, he lost 10 pounds in the offseason. He's motivated because this kind of is his last shot at getting a big contract.
Because last year we all said the same thing. It was his last shot to get a big contract. Then he got hurt. No, this is really his last shot.
This is double secret probation for his last contract.
And let's not forget, Raji's only 29 years old. For a defensive tackle, for a nose tackle, that's not that old.
No, it's old in the sense if you want to get like a big, like a 5 or 6 year contract from someone in free agency, which is why we've been saying, again, this is like double secret probation for his last shot. And he's really making the most of it so far. He's fantastic. I mean, he was, you know, he's breaking into the backfield to tackle Lynch. He's forcing. There were a lot of plays where Lynch wanted to go up the middle and Raji just wasn't having it. You know, and any defense will tell you, you want to force the running back outside one way or the other. And Lynch didn't want to do that, and Raji was just making it. It was just his will. He was willing Lynch to go outside.
Yeah, and that just means so much for this Finn inside linebacker core, because the strength of the linebackers is the outside. If Raji can gear those guys to the outside, to Nick Perry, Mike Neal, Julius Peppers,
Morgan Burnett,
yes. This just makes this defense not just, you know, a top 20 defense. It could be easily a top 15 defense. If B.J. Raji can keep that level of play up the rest of the season, this is a top 15 defense.
Yeah, because they haven't really had a dominating presence in the middle. I mean, they played Guyon at nose last year, but Guyon is just not the physical specimen that Raji is at all. And even though he was pretty good last year, they haven't had a guy doing what Raji's doing now. Since, again, late in 2012, really. You could even go back and say 2011 or even the Super Bowl year. Since they've had,
yeah.
And that would be Raji, of course. It's such a difference maker when you can have that guy. Look at the Patriots, right? Look at the Patriots. All those years, their linebackers were like a revolving door. But what did they always have? Wilfork.
Yeah.
It's just so huge to have that presence at nose tackle.
And you mentioned Guyon. Guyon's back this week. Throw him in the mix now.
Oh, after this week.
It's a three. Oh, yeah. The three games got held up.
After, that's right. After this week. But yeah, their defensive line will only be better then. I I thought Raji was kind of the player of the game outside of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely my player of the defense, player of the game on defense.
There are other guys, of course, we got to mention. We should probably mention, strip the Mr. August label off Jayrone Elliott.
Yeah, he's
no
surprised.
Longer just a preseason superstar. He's a player.
And he was very productive, and I didn't realize this until the day after, like how few snaps he played, because it just seemed like he made such a big impact on the game, but it just shows every time he was on the field, he made an impact.
Yeah, because they had Malumba actually up this week, or Elliott, up chart, whatever you want to call it, but so Elliott didn't really get in until the second half of that game.
But every time he was in, he made a play.
Yeah, the crazy athletic one-handed interception, and then the showing the never-say-die attitude to chase Fred Jackson down from behind and strip that ball out.
Mm-hmm.
What was essentially the final play of the game. I mean, those were two of the biggest plays of the night.
If you're Nick Perry, you might be worried for next year.
Yeah, but then even a guy like Perry. Yeah, even a guy like Perry.
No, but Perry stepped up his game.
I thought everybody on the defense. There wasn't one guy on the defense that I was like, well, no, Casey Hayward, I thought, struggled. But other than Casey Hayward, I didn't think there was anybody on the defense that I was like, oh, they're kind of having a sluggish night. That whole group came to play.
Yeah, there was. We could list every guy on that defense, basically.
You really could. Yeah, you could really just give. We should just give a game ball to the entire defense because they were fantastic.
Demarius Randall keeps on getting better.
Yep. Sam Shields rebounded from a horrendous week one, played well. Haha, Clinton Dix was good. You'd like to see him start to catch these almost interceptions. But
he made up plays. Burnett was good. And we talk about all these guys who, I'm not saying surprise us, but I think we're just used to the level of play that Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews bring every week. That they both had really good games, but we're almost used to that at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a different kind of look for Matthews this week. You know, I know they want to move him around, but Matthews was strictly an inside guy last week.
I like the comment that McCarthy made this week where he basically – I don't have it in front of me, the exact quote, because so I'll paraphrase – is that they just want Matthews to go wherever the ball is.
Yeah, it was something along those lines.
Which sounds really simple, and it is, but it for a player as athletic and aggressive as Clay Matthews, and you need him play inside and outside, have him basically be the all-time spy wherever the ball is.
Yeah, and a role that they needed Matthews to play last week, because it was all about taking Lynch out of the game.
Yeah.
Matthews was great.
And they did.
I mean,
between
Matthews and Raji, they walled off the middle of the field for Marshawn Lynch. Lynch was not going up the middle. Those two guys in tandem, I mean, there's other players as well, but mainly because of Raji and Matthews, they were able to get the job done against Lynch.
Yeah, and they're going to have another tall order this upcoming with Jamal Charles, but have confidence.
Micah Hyde, before I forget. Lynch. Micah Hyde, too.
Yeah.
Nice job on Jimmy Graham.
We could list so many guys on this defense, and I think it just starts with what they did with Marshawn Lynch. I remember at one point in the game, I looked up at the scoreboard, and Lynch had 9 carries for 11 yards with a long of 7, and I was just floored. I'm like, 9 for 11, and you take away that 7-yard carry, his 8 carries for 4 yards.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was incredible. It was an incredible group effort, really.
And I would never have got really super worried in the second half when Wilson was scrambling, getting yards on his legs. I'm like, they don't have any weapons on the outside that this could hurt us. They don't have even an Anquan Boleyn type. And Marshawn Lynch is completely out of the game. Like, Wilson, you want to run around some more? Yeah. You have no running back and no receiving. If that's all you're going to do, you're going to get some yards. You're in a couple first downs. We're going to be fine.
And then once they started correctly diagnosing that read option stuff, then the running thing wasn't even really an option for Wilson.
Yeah,
then you really saw the defense start to – I think that was when they started to regain their footing, was when they started correctly diagnosing that read option shit. Then it was like, well, you're really going to struggle now. And they did, and they locked them down the rest of the game.
I think Seattle got desperate when they basically rolled out the read option. And it – like I just said, it never really worried me because what else they had to do, there was nothing else Seattle could do. And Seattle's a good team. This team's 0-2. They're probably still going to make the playoffs. They were going to punch back with something. They weren't going to go away quietly.
Right. Exactly. When it was, what was it, 10-3 at halftime?
Yeah.
You knew. I said this to my wife, too. I'm like, they are going to come out with everything they have here on this first drive of the second half because they do not want to. Or was it? No, it was 13. It was 13-3 at halftime. I was like, they're going to come out with everything they have because they do not want to give Green Bay the ball back. Down 10 with a chance to almost put the game on ice. And they came out and scored. And like you said, they're a good team, and good teams do that. I mean, the Packers weren't going to shut them out. But to essentially hold them to 3 points outside of 2 drives is as close as you're ever going to get.
Yeah, this wasn't like they're playing against the Chicago Bears. This is a team that's been in 2 Super Bowls last year. So they're going to give Green Bay everything they had. And it was going to be a close game.
Offensively, probably we have to start with Rodgers.
Not quite
the game I thought he was going to have. I predicted he was going to have 300-plus yards and 3 or 4 scores. Didn't quite get there, but he made some throws. The touchdown to James Jones and then the touchdown pass to Richard Rodgers were both works of art. There's no other way you can describe them.
I don't want to call it a ho-hum game for Rodgers, but he's such a superstar that he just did what he had to do. He made the plays that no one else can make.
Oh, he was great. He was amazing. Yeah, he was amazing. It just wasn't statistically the game I predicted he would have. But what he did was great. I mean, like I said, those two touchdown throws were as good as you'll ever see from anybody ever.
Yes.
Rolling to his left, stopping on a dime, and drilling and throwing a dart to James Jones, basically in between two guys in the end zone. I mean, there are not many quarterbacks who could make that throw. Not just now, but in the history of the game, there are not many that could have made that throw.
The brilliance of Rodgers on Sunday was that you never got the sense that Green Bay was going to lose that game.
No, you didn't.
Even when it got tight, they were like, and he just kept making plays after plays. The second half was, I lack for a better word, methodical, but methodical in Rodgers' way that he's just going to make brilliant play after brilliant play. It was a machine.
And great and wonderful work from Clements, I guess. I'm so used to saying McCarthy, but it's Clements' show now. On that final drive or that touchdown drive where Rodgers was 9 of 9 or whatever, where the Packers regained the lead by having Cobb line up in the backfield.
Yeah.
Brilliant work by Clemens.
Mm-hmm. You have one of the best weapons in the NFL. Use them.
Right. And just sort of having the sense of the moment that, like, knowing that this is a huge spot in the game. This is kind of, I don't want to say our secret weapon because they've used it before, but kind of, for lack of a better word, it's like, this is a crucial spot in the game. Having Cobb line up in the backfield to create mismatches is kind of our secret weapon. Now's the time to deploy it. I was really impressed that Clemens did that at that point in the game.
And let's talk about the other Rodgers a little bit. Was it a good enough game to say a coming out party for Richard Rodgers? Is this 2 weeks in a row that he's been a real weapon in this offense?
I don't know if I'd say coming out party close. It feels like the momentum is building.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't. Yeah. I think he's due for an even bigger game here pretty quick. So I don't know if I'd say that was his coming out party, which is exciting because I think it's still in the offing.
Trending in the right way, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can just feel like it's building. Like, he was pretty good against the Bears. Then he was really good last week. It feels like he's going to have a monster game here pretty soon. Because Rodgers is starting to have more and more faith in him each week. Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to have more and more faith in the kid every week. And it's like, it's good to see. They haven't had that in a while at tight end.
Continue with unsung heroes, James Starks.
Great work. Yeah.
It's kind of vintage 2010 team with Raji stepping up, Starks stepping up, James Jones making plays.
Oh, shit. Where's B-Jax? Yeah.
Should we see if we can make a trade with Miami to get Greg back here?
let's get the band back together. James
Starks.
I thought Starks ran well. He ran hard. I mean, he always runs so hard. But he was showing good vision and was doing nice work weaving his way around. Because I didn't think they were going to lose, because I never really thought that at all during the game. But I was like, oh, shit, like, there's such a huge drop off here. And then Starks reminded me that, hey, I'm pretty good too. And I was like, oh, okay.
And when you say drop off, I was worried about the same thing. Like, all right, Starks is going to be fine. But
right, like, not that he's a bad player, but he's not Eddie Lacy.
Exactly. But if I would have told you coming into this game, if you gave me the stat line of what the starting running back would have for the Packers, and said, and I would and told me, that, yeah, that's going to be Eddie Lacy's stats. He's going to have 20 carries for 95 yards and touchdown. Like, that should be good enough for us to win this game.
Yep.
But it wasn't for me. It was James Starks. So what Starks did was kind of similar to the same production that I was hoping from Lacy against this defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much more Lacy would have done.
Yeah, exactly.
So... yeah, I thought Starks was great. Other players. We kind of talked about Cobb, but I'll give him some more credit. He was really good. Cobb was really – we talked about Cobb needing to be more of a factor in this game than he was against the Bears, and he did not disappoint.
Not at all. Are you concerned at all about Davante Adams so far through 2 weeks?
I'm worried about the ankle. Are you talking about injuries or just his performance?
Both.
Well,
I think his injury is tied to his performance.
You know,
I mean, this is a really tough defense they faced. He didn't really do much in week one. He did enough, but it's just maybe it's overreaction theater after 2 weeks playing against one of the best defenses. If he's a Davante Adams of last year, I don't know how much better this offense can get. I'm not saying he's going to be replacing for Jordy, but I think we're all looking for him to take the next step.
I think – I don't want this to sound sort of cliched, but I know Rodgers always says my favorite guy to throw to is the open man. I think we're going to see – I think you're seeing it sort of already, but I think as the season goes on, it's just going to really solidify as this is the approach. We're going to see Rodgers spread the ball like we've never seen before this year, partially because of just his maturity as a player and his ability to use all of his weapons, but also because of necessity without having Jordy. I just think – I don't know if outside of Cobb anybody's going to have that big of a year in this offense, statistically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can get behind that logic.
I just think we're really – I mean, you saw it Sunday night. It was like Cobb was kind of the guy, but then there's Ty Montgomery. There's Richard Rodgers. You know, there's James Jones. I think you're just going to kind of see that every week. I think Davante Adams will have – I think Davante Adams is going to have a nice year, and he's going to have some big games. But, no, I don't think it's going to be like it was last year where – you had Cobb and Nelson, and then this year that would be Cobb and Adams. I don't think those two are, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
they're not going to fall. It's not going to be like now this year it's Randall Cobb and Davante Adams putting up the big numbers. I think it's going to be Cobb and everybody else is going to be kind of involved.
So too early to panic?
Yes, I would say so.
Okay.
I'm worried about his ankle, though. That you know, those things can...
The extra day helps, but the way James Jones has played, I would not... Kind of like I said in week one with Cobb, if they have to rest Devontae for another week, so be it.
I agree.
But he came back and played, so I think it's probably one of those games where, of course, he's going to come back and play. This is a huge game, but I would not be surprised if he missed Monday. Like, he came, the adrenaline was what willed him to play on Sunday night.
I agree. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because he was not himself when he came back. I give him a lot of credit for for battling back to get on the field, but you could tell he was diminished. I mean,
I never thought I'd say this, but I was actually pretty impressed with Mr. Don Barclay.
Yeah, isn't it funny that we were actually, in hindsight, worrying about the wrong tackle?
Yeah.
Barclay, he wasn't perfect,
no,
but he battled.
But he battled, and he wasn't a disaster like we thought he
was. And that was the one thing you and I think said this last week, too, that the thing about Barclay that at least had to give you some hope was that he's a fighter and that he will battle you to the death. And you might get some on him, but he's damn sure going to get some on you. And that's what we saw Sunday night. He's not perfect, but he'll at least hunter's chance every play. The tackle on Bakhtiari. I know Michael Bennett's a really good player, but he was straight walking Bakhtiari back into Rodgers, like, multiple times on Sunday night.
Yeah, and Rodgers being how great he is, he's able to roll out of it most times. But, yeah, like I said, Michael Bennett's good. But he's going to be faced. Bakhtiari's going to face a lot better pass rushes this upcoming week again with Holly and Houston.
Right, right. And every team, you know what I mean. Damn near every team you play is going to have a stud pass rusher coming in on Rodgers' blind side. So it's
I would say Bakhtiari was the only really negative on the offensive line.
I thought
too.
So. I thought Bakhtiari was really the only negative on offense. Really, yeah. Really, out of the entire team, there were only two players I thought that had bad nights: Casey Hayward and David Bakhtiari. I thought everybody else was really good. But I'm worried about Bakhtiari, and I'm wondering about his knee. And, you know, I know McCarthy's saying that his knee is fine, but I'm wondering if he's not still hurt a little bit.
We need him, though. You don't have another tackle.
No, they don't. Right. You got to go. You got to play.
Well, leading into the game on this upcoming Monday, I mean, some of these injuries are going to carry over. I mean, Barkley's still going to be in there. Balaga's out. Talk about Adams a little bit. I mean, the big elephant in the room is Eddie Lacy, I think.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they're going to do here with him. Because he had an ankle injury his rookie year that he battled through the entire last part of the season and was still really, really good. So playing through an ankle injury is nothing new to Eddie Lacy, but it is so early in the year. I'm wondering if we're going to see him Monday night.
McCarthy did come out and say that he has no problems playing Lacy without practicing this week.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me because when Lacy was hurt his rookie year, I think a couple of those weeks at least, he didn't practice at all. And they played him
so
and
if he
still
doesn't
put
practice,
up big numbers.
Yeah. So if he doesn't practice all this week, that's not going to give any fans or anyone in general any insight if he's going to play or not. Usually, you know, if a player practices Thursday or Friday, they're pretty safe to say they're going to suit up. Lacy's not going to suit up at all this week in practice. I think that's what Mike was saying. Like, he's not going to practice sweep, but we're not going to rule him out either.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you're going to know until about 90 minutes before kickoff on Monday if Eddie Lacy's playing. Maybe
do they need Lacy to win this game?
No, I don't think so. Based on what I saw from James Starks, I'm really drinking the James Starks Kool-Aid right now after that performance on Sunday night. I don't think you need Eddie Lacy, which is why I wouldn't play him. But if I had to guess, I would say he'll play.
Yeah, you know, I think he's going to suit up, and I think you're going to see a lot more James Starks than you do.
Yeah, you mentioned before we started recording, because I have Eddie Lacy and James Starks in fantasy. You mentioned this before we started recording that you thought it might be kind of a 50-50 split.
I think so. I think we're going to give Lacy a go, but he's going to be on a short leash. If they can tell pretty early that he's not healthy, he doesn't have it, they're going to basically limit his playing time pretty drastically and just handed the reins over to Starks, which is fine in general. Being, you know, a fantasy football owner of Eddie Lacy, that would drive me nuts, but that's why we, you know, it's fantasy and not real.
And if you had been listening to our pre-show discussion, you would see that this is driving me nuts because I have no idea what to do on Monday night with these two guys. But that's another story for another day. Yeah, I Adams, and then on Adams, I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think so either.
I just think that ankle, and they've got to be encouraged by, you know, with Jones and Cobb, and they've got to be encouraged by what they saw out of Ty Montgomery and Richard Rodgers. Yeah. They have enough weapons on offense to win this game without Cobb or without Lacy or Adams, I think.
Yeah, if anything, the Montgomery performance has really stopped the hype train on Jeff Giannis.
Yeah, you know, although if Adams doesn't play, you'd have to think Giannis will get some sort of a shot.
Oh, yeah, I think he will. And I'll say this side note, we're talking about Kansas City and a little bit of the receivers. Jeff Giannis is a really good special teams player. I did not notice that on TV, but you saw it in live that dude, his speed is seen so much on the coverage units.
He's
a very valuable asset on those coverage units.
Which makes total sense if you look at his physical makeup. I mean, he's a big kid. He's a big, 6'3", 215 pounds, can run, obviously, has a good 40 time, like you said. So it makes sense that he would be a good special teams player.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
Their special teams, we should give them some credit. You know, things couldn't be worse than they were last year. So that had us all hopeful. But I think we were all sort of, you know, didn't know what to expect from Zook's unit.
I was nervous going in because I figured if there was one way that Seattle could, even when Green Bay got an early lead, was one thing that can change the outcome of this game or change the course of this game is the special teams, because we saw in preseason, we saw in week one, Tyler Lockett's a very dangerous return man. And I'm like, if somehow they get a return touchdown, that's going to kill any momentum this team has, and Seattle can get right back in this game. And it never came close to happening.
No, they really bottled him up. And it is sort of a new look there. You know, Jake Ryan's playing now. You mentioned Giannis. Goodson's a key guy. Banjo. I'm still not 100% sold, but two games in, so far so good on the Ron Zook thing. The special teams have performed very well. If they keep this up, it's going to go a long way, put it that way.
I think you're going to get test this upcoming week. Kansas City has some pretty dangerous returners.
Yeah, let's get into the Chiefs here. When you look at the Chiefs in this game, because they have playmakers on both sides of the ball, what's the one thing that jumps out to you?
I think
more than anything else, I should say.
What worries me is Kansas City not so much copying. They're a very similar team to Seattle, but not really copying the Seattle game plan, but copying the Bears game plan from week one. Jamaal Charles is a very different running back than Marshawn Lynch. They wanted to force Lynch to the outside. They wanted to do pretty much the exact opposite with Charles.
Yeah,
Charles is a lot like Forte, that you don't want Charles on the outside. You don't want Charles being a factor catching passes. You want to force him in the inside. So it's going to be the opposite approach in this defense. And I'll be honest, I'm actually a little more worried about a Jamaal Charles, Matt Forte type back. We saw what Forte did in week one than I would be of a Marshawn Lynch kind of power running back.
Yeah,
so I think Charles being a factor in that passing game and just hitting the outside, making call big splash plays, that's what would worry me the most.
I mean, you're right. They are sort of a Bears. They're sort of like the Bears on steroids, right? Because Charles is a lot like Forte, right? A guy who's quick, can do damage anywhere. He's a really good pass catcher. Kelsey is a better version of Martellus Bennett. I also have him on my fantasy team. Kelsey, much better than, you know, he's a much better version of Martellus Bennett. And then Macklin's kind of like Alshon Jeffrey, right?
And Alex Smith is not Jay Cutler, which is
the trigger man is like the exact opposite of Cutler, where Cutler's too risky. Smith is probably too cautious.
Yeah.
But sort of the same makeup, at least in terms of, you know, where the talent is.
Yeah. And they don't throw the ball downfield at all. I mean, that's been documented all last season, and it's 2 weeks so far has played out the exact same. They're not taking any shots downfield, which could bring Morgan Burnett into play to kind of be that spy on Charles. But give Andy Reid credit, he knows where his playmakers are. Charles is going to get a lot of work.
Yep.
He always does, and he always will.
Charles and then Kelsey, too, I think, is going to be
a
problem for Green Bay, because they did a good job against Jimmy Graham, but, you know, they struggled against Bennett in the season opener, so I'm still not sold on this defense's ability to cover tight ends. Really good tight ends.
Are you worried about a letdown at all?
I'm not, and here's why. We talked about this in our season preview. when we were going game by game, play by play. I'm not worried because of the Aaron Rodgers v. Alex Smith angle.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's alive and well.
That's why I'm not worried about it, because you know how Rodgers is. He turns, you know, he never forgets anything, and he can use almost anything for motivation, and I think he's still pissed off about the 2005 draft and pissed off at the way that ESPN kept showing him in the green room as he was falling and falling and falling down the draft board, and still pissed off that his hometown team passed him over for Alex Smith, a decision that was made in part by Mike McCarthy, the San Francisco offensive coordinator. So I think Rodgers is, you know what I mean? I think he's still like, I think that still burns his ass. So that's why I'm not worried about a letdown, because I think Rodgers is going to go into this with a lot to prove.
He definitely has that Michael Jordan to him that he will find motivation out of anything.
Right. Exactly. He's very Jordan-esque. And it's like, you know, man, maybe if someone else was the quarterback, I'd be worried. But it's like, he knows damn well. He's going up against the defense, but he knows damn well who the quarterback is for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's like, I'm going to remind the nation again how stupid everybody was who made that decision back in 2005.
Because everyone forgot. You know, everyone's forgotten about that.
Well, I know. Well, like we said in our, like I said, I reference this with Rodgers all the time. If you don't know who Kevin Hart is, but if you've never heard this joke, he tells this joke about what happens when you see a really buff dude at the gym, and it's like, why are you here? Like, we get it, man, you won. That's Rodgers sometimes. Mm-hmm. He really is. It's like, Aaron, we get it, man, you won, but like, he's gonna use Monday night as another chance to show everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Is it weird that I'm a little more nervous that the Packers may lose this game than I was going at this point last week to Seattle?
No, I think it makes sense. You know, I kind of underestimated the Chiefs, I guess, a little bit, maybe going into the season, because I kind of looked at this in August as like a fairly easy win. But when you study the Chiefs, I mean, they have a lot of playmakers. They have a lot of guys who can come up with big explosive plays. We talked about the offense. We haven't even talked about their defense yet. Obviously, the two stud outside linebackers, Houston and Holly, I mean, those guys right there are good enough to take over a game.
Yeah, it's the way...
And the nose tackle on Terry's Poe is very good as well.
The way there's certain players in Kansas City that's built makes me more nervous than the Seattle game. Besides, I think there might be a little bit of a letdown besides, you know, you refuted my idea with the Rodgers idea, but I think just in general,
from
it's...
From the rest of the team, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. From the rest of the team, yes, I do. Yeah, I agree with you. I think there could be.
Will the letdown cost them the game? Maybe not, but I think there's a lot of people that think Green Bay is going to roll in this game. I think it's going to be actually a pretty close game.
I think it's going to be a one-score game. Really close.
I think it's going to be a dogfight, yep. And I would not be surprised if this game's tied at halftime or something like that. Because I think Charles is a different kind of running back than Lynch, and he's that kind of role that's given Green Bay fits before. And, yes, Seattle has the best – or not the best anymore, but I mean, one of the best secondaries in the league. But when you have an elite quarterback like Rodgers, he can pick them apart. Kansas City doesn't have that much, but what Kansas City does is have two brilliant outside pass rushers that – we just talked about Bakhtiari's probably hurt, and Barkley, well, he's Don Barkley. That Rodgers can negate a good secondary more than he can negate a good pass rush.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Chiefs – I don't think the Chiefs are a great team. But they're the kind of team that could steal a game like this because, like you said, I don't think Rodgers will have any letdown, but do I think parts of the rest of the team are maybe susceptible to it? Yeah. And the Chiefs are the kind of team where, like, they're not a great team, but they have just enough explosive playmakers kind of all over the place that if you're napping even a little, they'll beat you. Because Andy Reid's a really good, you know, and Andy Reid's a really good head coach, too. We can't leave that out. But right,
yeah.
Like Charles, Kelsey, Macklin, Holly, Justin Houston, the nose tackle, Poe, Marcus Peters, the rookie cornerback. You know what I mean? Like they have enough sort of big play guys. Combine that with Reed, and yeah, they could definitely steal this.
Do you see any other ways that Green Bay could? I think that the blueprint for the Packers is – to play against Packers, if I'm the Chiefs, is get Charles open in space and unleash the hounds at Rodgers.
Yeah.
I don't see really any other way that Green Bay is going to lose this game.
Yeah, you're right. And Kansas City, you're right. That probably is Kansas City's game plan. It's not going to be complex. It's going to be Right.
Outside of Rodgers, who's the most important player on Monday, in your mind?
For either team? Or for
Green Bay? For the Packers.
Oh, for the Packers.
Yeah,
most important player. That's a great question. I think Morgan Burnett. You mentioned him a little while ago. I think Burnett's going to be a really important player Monday night. His ability to come down into the box, and he's athletic enough to where he can kind of shadow Charles in space a little bit. And yeah, that would be my choice.
My choice would be, I want to go the obvious answer, would be Clay Matthews to shadow Jamal Charles. But we mentioned him once before. It's David Bakhtiari. How healthy can he be?
That's a good choice, too, because he is going to have his hands full.
If he can't protect Rodgers' blindside and they get 4 or 5 hits in Aaron, will it affect Rodgers? No, but it's gonna stall some drives.
Right. And if you're Kansas City, that's all you're looking to do, because you're not gonna shut the Packers out at Lambeau. It's just, let's get enough pressure on Rodgers with our big dogs and stall a few drives, like you said, and eat up clock with Charles in our short passing game, and we'll try to steal this thing 21-20 or something, you know?
Yeah. And not a whole lot of guys that I'm looking as like, okay, I would like to see the guy make a big jump. I mean, Casey Hayward's the obvious candidate. I'd like to see some improvement, but I don't think you're even going to see much improvement of Hayward. I don't think he's really going to have the opportunity. I mean, he's probably going to look good because, quite frankly, Kansas City has no one else besides Macklin, and Shields is going to be at Macklin, so.
I'd like to see Peppers have a big game. I thought he was pretty good week one, and then he kind of faded as that game went on, and I didn't really notice him a whole lot on Sunday night. Outside, I think he had one sack, but that was a kind of a quiet performance from Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Peppers have a big game, and he's usually pretty good when the lights come on. So,
should we get into predictions?
Yeah. Oh, hey, should we also forget? Hey, speaking of the 2010 Packers, I can't even mention this yet. Do you know who Justin Houston's backup is at left outside linebacker?
It's not still Frank Zombo, is it?
It indeed is! Frank Zombo!
He's been the Chiefs for a couple years.
He's really kind of carving out a niche here. And then do you know who their third stringer is? At least according to the CBSSports.com depth chart. Their third stringer at left outside linebacker? Remember this name? Desmond Moses?
Oh, God, yes. Please don't tell me Vic Soto's on the team,
too. No, he's not. No, Vic Soto.
Did Brady Papinga come out of retirement?
Brady Papinga. Shit, there's a name.
What about Brandon Chiller?
I love that John Dorsey, who's like the GM in KC.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get a couple of Packers on this team. Let me go get Frank Zombo and Desmond Moses.
It's nice to see good old Frank to still have a role in this league.
I'm glad that Zombo still...
He's still pulling on a paycheck.
Hey, good for him, man. God bless. Keep it going as long as you can. Once the ride's over, it's over, so you might as well go as long as you can.
Nice. It makes me more excited for Monday now.
I'm hoping that he gets in at least a little bit. We can see him.
He should.
Yeah. So predictions, you want to go ahead and start us off?
Yeah. I think it's close to game. We kind of already went over everything. I think this is going to be a tighter game, and it might surprise some people. I don't think Green Bay is going to roll. I think Kansas City is going to be punching back. I think it would not surprise me if Charles busts a play early and a couple of sacks on Rodgers that gets this team woken up a little bit. I picked them to lose this game.
This is a loss for Green Bay in our preseason.
But when it comes down to it, we do this podcast for fun. I don't want to pick Green Bay to lose, but I think they're going to be in a dogfight to the end. I think this may be a 13-10 game or a 14-13 game, and they're trailing going the fourth quarter. I do have worries about this team being a letdown, but I think the person you talked about that's not going to be a letdown is Rodgers. Worried about this offense line still. I think it's edge rushers is still going to give this team more problems than a defense built like Seattle, where you can funnel these guys inside. Mm-hmm. Same thing on defense with Charles. I mean, I'm not going to repeat everything we talked about the last 20, 30 minutes, but I'm picking Green Bay to hold on, but I'm picking Green Bay to win this game 19-17. I think some people are going to be surprised.
I can't really argue with anything you said. I'll kick off my predictions by saying saying I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers lose because of all the reasons we just discussed over the last, again, 20, 30 minutes. The Chiefs have a lot of explosive players. It's not a great team, but it's a team that has a lot of guys who can break those big sort of, you know, they can be responsible for those game-breaking plays. And you couple that with a sleepy Packer team, and that's how you'd get an upset. I don't think that that's going to happen, though. I think those guys for the Chiefs, we mentioned Kelce and Holly and Houston and whatever, that they're going to get theirs. And I do think the Packers will be a little sleepy to start. I'll say I think the Packers will be losing this game at halftime. And then they'll start to kind of wake up as the third quarter starts. Third quarter goes on. We get deeper into that second half. And, again, Rodgers will be the difference because he's going to prove to everybody. Well, you know, I said this already. But he's just going to prove how dumb everybody was in 2005 again. So when you add it all up, I have the Packers winning this 24-23.
All right. We both
Does that make sense? Yes. Does that make sense? Okay.
We're both in agreement. It's Rodgers is being the one guy who's not going to sleepwalk through this game, and
it's going to be the classic. The Packers won this game because they had Aaron Rodgers, and Kansas City didn't.
Yeah, and John Gruden's going to be all over himself.
It's going to be a Rodgers love fest, no doubt. Because you're going to see Charles make plays. You know, you're going to see Macklin make plays. Kelce is going to make plays. Rodgers is going to get hit a few times. Like all that stuff that we're saying, it's going to happen. But in the end, kind of like with the Miami game last year a little bit, where it's like the Packers won because they had Rodgers and Miami didn't. That's what you're going to be reading about Tuesday morning.
Can you read games like that? And I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I am too. It's as long as you just get the win.
All right. Well, hopefully next week at this time, we're talking about the 3-0 Packers. No one else has gotten hurt. Can't say that enough.
Have we gotten everything?
I think so.
Fast, huh?
We're efficient. We're Rodgers in the second half. We're efficient.
It always goes by so fast. I'm always so excited to do these, and then it's like I blink, and it's like, is it over already?
You know what the main reason was? We didn't really train wreck that go off the rails.
No, we just
did
a little bit at the start, but we regained our footing.
Kind of nervous about how this is going to turn out. Then
we think right. You're going to go back and listen to it while you're editing it. You're gonna be like, holy shit, what are we talking about?
We sounded like robots.
I hope not.
I'm sure we're fine. And until next week, I'm Adam Summers.
And I'm Chris Lempesis.
I guess we are robots because I don't know how to end this.
Go Pack Go.
Easy enough.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.